Welcome back to Such a Fun Read. I am your host and resident reader, Cherie, and here we will be diving in each week to chat about the books we love, the books people just can't stop talking about, and how we deal with being book obsessed. I'm excited for today's episode. Today, we are going to be talking about some new releases that are coming out in the months of March and April. And I have quite a few books to talk about today, 50 to be exact. From thrillers to fantasy to heartwarming romances, there is something here for every kind of reader. Plus, this might help you know what books you might want to pre-order or put a hold on at the library. And if there are any books that I don't mention today and you are very excited about them, please let me know. So grab a drink and some snacks and let's talk about books. So we'll start with the fantasy releases first. First up, we have The Stricken by Morgan Shammy. And this releases on March 5th. Every day in Clara's world, a dark cloud descends upon her town. The storm comes like clockwork, erasing everyone's memories. Everyone except Clara. But after Clara's father mysteriously disappears, things change. The diviners, captive souls who feed off memories, come for her. With the help of a mysterious figure, Clara escapes the diviners and flees to Callum, a city in a parallel world where she hopes to find refuge. There, Clara discovers that she is a noble, one of the few people to have knowledge of both worlds, along with the ability to venture between the two. Forced to live the noble life, Clara goes to school with peers who want her dead. Meanwhile, a rare and dangerous power begins to stir inside of her, the power of death. And it grows until she's not sure if she can control it. When the diviners break through the city's defense and students begin to turn up brain dead, Clara must find a way to harness her newfound power in order to stop the attacks before the city and her mind is wiped clean. So this is like fantasy meets Dark Academia, and it sounds intriguing. Next, we have The Encanto's Daughter by Melissa De La Cruz, and that also releases on March 5th. MJ Rodriguez has spent her life hiding in the human world, keeping a heavy secret. She's a half Encanto. As the only child of King Vivencio of this Serena court, she's also next in line for the throne. And now, upon her estranged father's sudden death, MJ must claim her place as rightful heir. In Wondrous Berengen, the road to the throne is paved with thorns. Without a reigning monarch, the realm has spiraled into disarray. MJ has to win over a backstabbing council that objects to a half-human ruler. And when it looks like her father's passing wasn't natural, but possibly infected by a curse, she must hunt down the sorceress behind this merciless magic. In a bind, MJ forges an unlikely alliance with the striking Sir Lucas of the feared Sigbin court, and soon she loses her heart to mysterious knight. But with peril looming over Berengen, the princess must decide if she can both open herself to love and carry the weight of the crown. So this is a young adult romantic fantasy, and it's inspired by Filipino mythology. Next, we have Song of the Huntress by Lucy Holland, and this releases on March 19th. Britain, 60 AD. Hoping to save her lover, her land, and her people from the Romans, Herla makes a desperate pact with the king of the Otherworld. But years pass unheeded in his realm, and she escapes to find everyone she loved long dead. Cursed to wield his blade, she becomes Lord of the Hunt. And for centuries, she rides leading her immortal warriors and reaping wanderers' souls. Until the night she meets a woman on a bloody battlefield, a Saxon queen with ice blue eyes. Queen Ethelberg of Wessex is a proven fighter. But when she leads her forces to a disaster in battle, her husband's court turns against her. Yet King Aene needs Ethel more than ever. Something dark and dangerous is at work in the Wessex court. His own brother seeks to usurp him, and their only hope is the magic in Aini's bloodline that's lain dormant since ancient days. The moment she and Ethel meet, Hurla knows it's no coincidence. The dead kings are waking. The Otherworld seeks to rise to bring the people of Britain under its dominion. And as Hurla and Ethel grow closer, Hurla must find her humanity and a way to break the curse before it's too late. So this author has put the story of Hurla and the Wild Hunt into a rich feminist fantasy, telling a story of two great warriors, a war-torn land, and an ancient magic that is slowly awakening. Next, we have The Woods All Black by Lee Mandela, and this releases on March 19th. Leslie Bruin is assigned to the backwoods township of Spar Creek by the Frontier Nursing Service under its usual mandate: vaccinate the flock, birth babies, and weather the judgments of churchy locals who look at him and see a failed woman. Forged in the fires of the Western Front and reborn in the cafes of Paris, Leslie believes he can handle whatever is thrown at him. But Spar Creek holds a darkness beyond his nightmares. Something ugly festers within the local congregation, and its malice is focused on a young person they insist is an unruly tomboy who must be brought to heel. Violence is bubbling when Leslie arrives, ready to spill over, and he'll have to act fast if he intends to be of use. But the hills enfolding Spar Creek have a mind of their own, and the woods are haunted in ways Leslie does not understand. So The Woods All Black, it is equal parts historical horror, trans romance, and a blood-soaked revenge, and it's set in the 1920s Appalachia. It explores reproductive justice and bodily autonomy, the terrors of small-town religiosity, and the necessity to fighting tooth and claw to live as you truly are. Next, we have The Revenant Games by Margie Fuston. Blood is survival for 17-year-old Bly, who lives in the poverty-stricken human villages caught between enemy vampire and witch kingdoms. Most of the time, vampires and witches live in uneasy truce, buying human blood for their food and spells. But for 2 weeks a year, the ceasefire dissolves and they hold the Revenant Games. Any human can play in the games for either the witches or the vampires. Alongside life-changing riches, the witches will raise one person from the dead for whoever captures the highest-ranking vampire. In turn, the vampires offer immortality to whoever captures the most powerful witch. For most humans, the games are a ticket out of poverty. For Bly, it's a chance to get back her dead sister Elise and save the life of her dying best friend, Emerson. Together, she and Emerson forge a dangerous plan to play both sides and win both prizes: resurrection for Elise and immortality for Emerson. But when the vampire they capture stirs a passion in Bly that she hasn't felt in a long time, she'll have to make a choice: her sister or the boy who's shown her there's more to life than just survival. Next, we have The Blood Carver by Vanessa Lee, and this also releases on March 19th. Nika is a blood carver, a cold-hearted, ruthless being who can alter human biology with just a touch. In the harsh industrial city of Thumas, she is seen not as a healer as she was meant to, but a monster that kills for pleasure. And in the city's criminal underbelly, the rarest of monsters are traded for gold. When Nika is finally caught by the infamous butchers, she's auctioned off to the highest bidder, a mysterious girl garbed in white. But this strange buyer doesn't want to use Nika as an assassin or a trophy piece. She intends to use Nika's blood carving to heal the last person who saw her father's killer. As Nika delves into the investigation amid Thumas's wealthiest and most powerful, all signs point to Vin Cochin, an alluring yet entitled physician's aide, intent on casting her out of his opulent world. But despite his relentless attempts to push her away, something inexplicable draws Nika to him. When she discovers Cochin is not who he claims to be, Nika must face a greater, more terrifying evil, turning her quest for justice into a fight for her life. Her only chance to survive lies in a terrible choice: become the dreaded monster the city fears, or risk destroying herself and the future of her kind. This is set in a Vietnam-inspired fantasy world, and it also has a medical magic system, which intrigues me. Next, we have The Emperor and the Endless Palace by Justinian Wan. In 4 BCE, Playboy administrator Dong Xian catches the eye of Emperor. In 1740, innkeeper He Shishan is seduced by strange visitor Wan Julan. And at a circuit party in modern-day LA, pre-med student River ends up in the arms of aspiring artist Joey. Though seemingly disconnected, the couples are actually living one epic romance constantly repeated across two millennia. Soulmates in a sense, their romances are nevertheless doomed. Rooted in one of the greatest historically true love stories never told. Their curse began with Emperor Ai and his male lover Don Xian's obsessive and destructive relationship that led to their deaths and the fall of the Han Dynasty. As the romance reincarnates, the couple begins to remember and has the opportunity to recover one powerful artifact that might be able to break their tragic cycle. A sweeping supernatural romance, Endless Palace is a story of folklore and tradition, of danger and betrayal, of lust and ultimately eternal love. From ancient China to modern Los Angeles, it takes us on three distinct timelines that weave together into one shocking climax. Next, we have The Poisons We Drink by Bethany Baptiste, and this releases on March 26. In a country divided by humans and witchers, Venus Stoneheart hustles as a brewer making illegal love potions to support her family. Love potions is a dangerous business. Brewing has painful, debilitating side effects, and getting caught means death or a prison sentence. But what Venus is most afraid of is the dark, sentient magic within her. Then an enemy's iron bullet kills her mother. Venus's life implodes. Keeping her reckless little sister Janice safe is now her responsibility. When a powerful Grand Witcher, the ruthless head of her coven, offers Venus the chance to punish her mother's killer, she has to pay a steep price for revenge. The cost? Brew poisonous potions to enslave DC's most influential politician. As Venus crawls deeper into the corrupt underbelly of her city, the line between magic and power blurs, and it's hard to tell who to trust, herself included. So The Poisons We Drink is set in a world where love potions are weaponized against hate and prejudice, sisterhood is unbreakable, and self-love is life and death. Next, we have Book, Beast, and Crow by Elizabeth Byrne, and this releases on March 12th. In a small New Jersey town, a group of teens face catastrophic, world-bending consequences after their friend gets bitten by the town's most feared creature. Anna Kellogg has always felt different. Growing up in Hartwood, New Jersey, where frequent disappearances are attributed to an urban legend like Beast that dwells in the Walden Swamp at the center of town. Since she was a child, she's been plagued by episodes where she sees things others can't. Feeling different is one thing, but actually being different is another. If it weren't for her best friend Olivia, Anna's not sure where she'd fit in. But any hopes of having a normal senior year come to a halt when Olivia is attacked in the woods, bitten and left for dead by a whirling cyclone of claws, fur, and teeth. Though Olivia survives, a sinister entity makes it clear, and the mist has set in motion a catastrophic shift that will change Anna and her friends' lives forever. And this one has dashes of mythology, fantasy, and suspense. Next up, we have The Familiar by Leigh Bardugo, and this releases on April 9th. In a shabby house on a shabby street in the new capital of Madrid, Lucia Catado uses scraps of magic to get through her days of endless toil as a scullion. But when her scheming mistress discovers a lump of a servant cowering in the kitchen is actually hiding a talent for little miracles, she demands Lucia use those gifts to improve the family's social position. What begins as simple amusement for the nobility takes a perilous turn when Luzia garners the notice of Antonio Perez, the disgraced secretary to Spain's king. Still reeling from the defeat of his armada, the king is desperate for any advantage in the war against England's heretic queen, and Perez will stop at nothing to regain the king's favor. Determined to seize the one chance to better her fortunes, Luzia plunges into a world of seers and alchemists, holy men and hucksters, where the lines between magic, science, and fraud are never certain. But as her notoriety grows, so is the danger that her Jewish blood will doom her to the Inquisition's wrath. She will have to use every bit of her wit and will to survive, even if that means enlisting the help of Julian Santangel, an embittered immortal familiar whose own secrets could prove deadly for them both. And I'm pretty sure this one is very highly anticipated by a lot of people since Leigh Bardugo is a very popular author. I'm pretty sure I'll pick it up at some point as well. And next up we have The Smoke That Thunders by Aru Kome. In this mesmerizing fantasy rooted in Horobo and West African folklore, 16-year-old Nobari longs for a life away from her small traditional clan in Kokore. But as a rite of passage approaches and she is betrothed to an arrogant young man, Nobari feels her dreams slipping away from her. Then Nobari becomes bonded to a mysterious animal and begins having harrowing visions of a kidnapped boy. She soon meets Atai, the son of an oracle from a rival queendom, and learns that she is being guided by the gods. She and Atai, along with Nabari's eager for adventure cousin, Tumunor, set off across the continent to rescue the mysterious boy. But when they find him and find out his true identity, Nabari realizes there is more than just her freedom at stake. She must stop a war that has already been set in motion. With lush, unique world building and a dynamic cast of characters, The Smoke That Thunders is a gripping story of political intrigue, fierce love, and what it means to be free. Next up, we have To Gaze Upon Wicked Gods by Molly X. Chan, and this releases on April 16th. Heroes die, cowards live. Daughter of a conquered world, Ruin hates the invaders who descended from the heavens long before she was born and defeated the magic of her people with technologies unlike anything her world has ever seen. Blessed by death, born with the ability to pull the life right out of mortal bodies, Ruin shouldn't have to fear these foreign invaders, but she does, especially because she wants to keep herself and her family safe. When Ruin's gift is discovered by an enemy prince, he offers her an impossible deal. If she becomes his private assassin and eliminates his political rivals, whose deaths he swore would be for the good of both the worlds and would protect her people from further brutalization, her family would never starve or suffer harm again. But to accept this bargain, she must use the powers she has always feared, powers that will shave years off of her own existence. Can Ruin trust this prince whose promises of a better world make her heart ache and whose smiles make her heart beat faster? Are the evils of this agreement really in the service of a much greater good? Or will she betray her entire nation by protecting those she loves the most? Next up, we have Dragon Rider by Taryn Matherow, and this releases on April 23rd. Can an orphan captain learn the secrets of the Dragon Riders to stand up and avenge his people? Jai lives as a royal hostage in the Sabine court. Ever since his father, Rowan, leader of the Steppefolk, led a failed rebellion and was executed by the very emperor Jai now serves. When the emperor's son and heir is betrothed to Princess Erica of the neighboring Donsk Kingdom, she brings with her a dowry, dragons. Endemic to the northern nation, these powerful beasts come in several forms, but mystery surrounds them. Only Donsk royalty know the secret to soul bonding with these dangerous beasts to draw on their power and strength. This marriage and the alliance that forms will change that, but conspirators lurk in the shadows, and soon the Sabine court is in chaos. With his life in danger, Jai uses the opportunity to escape with a Donsk handmaiden, Frida, and a stolen hatching. and a stolen hatchling. Hunted at every turn, he must learn to cultivate magic and become a soulbound warrior if he has any chance of finding safety, seizing his destiny, and seeking his revenge. It is the first in a new trilogy, and it's all about dragons, so I'll probably pick it up. And the last one in fantasy we have is A Letter to the Luminous Deep by Sylvie Catherall. And this releases on April 23rd. A beautiful discovery outside the window of her underwater home prompts the reclusive E to begin a correspondence with renowned scholar Henry Seal. The letters they share are filled with passion at first for her mutual interests and then inevitably for each other. Together, they uncover a mystery from the unknown depths, destined to transform the underwater world they both equally fear and love. But by no mere coincidence, a sea quake destroys E's home, and she and Henry vanish. A year later, E's sister Sophie and Henry's brother Viren are left to solve the mystery, piecing together the letters, sketches, and field notes left behind, and learn what their siblings' disappearance might mean for life as they know it. This is a fantasy with an underwater world. There's magical academia, a pen pal romance. Definitely sounds like something I like to read in the springtime. Okay, now let's move on to some romance releases. You might be surprised I'm adding some romance releases here because romance isn't typically a genre. But lately, I've been in the mood to read some romance. So I figured I might as well look up to see what romances are coming out. So let's get into some romances releasing in the months of March and April. First one we have is Kilt Trip by Alexandra Kiley. And this releases on March 5th. Addie McCrae has always followed her wanderlust. As a travel consultant, she turns struggling businesses into world-class tour groups. Her job comes with the perk of jet-setting around the globe, which means never being in one place for too long, just the way she likes it. Since her mom passed away 10 years ago, and her father never stopped grieving, no place has felt like home anyway. But when she sent on assignment to help a family-run tour group in Scotland, the one place she swore she'd never go, Addie has to shed her emotional baggage and turn on the professional charm. Logan Sutherland's family business is operating just fine, thank you very much. The heart of the Highlands was never meant to make the family rich, rather to teach sightseers to appreciate the beauty of Scotland's hidden gem, which are more captivating than any tourist trap. The last thing Logan wants is some American expert pushing Outlander-themed tours and perpetrating myths about the Loch Ness Monster. And for a travel consultant, Addie oddly doesn't seem interested in learning about the land Logan loves. Equally put off by each other, the new colleagues clash on every company decision. Then Logan discovers Addie does have a personal connection to Scotland. It was her late mother's favorite place, one that now lives on in a handful of faded Polaroids Addie kept from her parents' honeymoon. She wants to seek out the places in the pictures, but is worried that she's too late to capture the wonder of following in her mother's footsteps. Logan is convinced he can help Addie get some closure, and the two realize when they agree, they actually work pretty well together. But Addie's contract with the Heart is almost up, and the business is still losing money. They can't afford distractions. There's no denying the intense chemistry between Addie and Logan. Besides, how can Addie do her job properly if she hasn't explored all Scotland has to offer? Next up we have This Could Be Us by Kennedy Ryan. This also releases on March 5th. Soledad Barnes has her life all planned out. Because, of course she does. She plans, she designs everything, she fixes everything. She's a domestic goddess who's never met a party she couldn't host or a charge she couldn't lead. The one with all the answers and the perfect vinaigrette for that summer salad. But none of her very talents can save her when catastrophe strikes and a life she built with the man who was supposed to be her forever goes poof in a cloud of betrayal and disillusion. But there is no time to pout or sulk or even grieve the life she lost. She's too busy keeping a roof over her daughter's heads and food on the table. And in the process of saving them all, Soledad rediscovers herself. From the ashes of a life burned to the ground, something bold and new can rise. But then, an unlikely man enters the picture, the Forbidden One, the one she shouldn't want but can't seem to resist. She's lost it all before and refuses to repeat her mistakes. Can she trust him? Can she trust herself? After all she's lost and found, can she be brave enough to make room for what could be? Next up, we have Lady Charlotte Always Gets Her Man by Violet Marsh. And this also releases on March 5th. Lady Charlotte Lovett should have never run away upon discovering her betrothal. But when one has been promised to a man who, rumor has it, killed his previous two wives, one does what one must. The only thing that can get her out of this engagement is proving that Viscount Holly is as sinister as she thinks he is. And the person who would know best is his very own brother. In many ways, Dr. Matthew Talbot is the exact opposite of his sibling, scholarly, shy, and shunned by society. But like his brother, he has secrets, and he doesn't need Charlotte exposing them in her quest to take down the Viscount. It only seems prudent to help her while keeping her from poking her nose in all of the wrong places. But as they put their hearts at risk to grow closer to each other, they are also getting closer to a dangerous confrontation with Holly. Next up, we have Happily Never After with Lynn Painter. And this releases on March 12th. Their name, the Objectors. Their job, to break off weddings as hired. Their dilemma, they might just be in love with each other. When Sophie Steinbeck finds out just before her wedding that her fiancé has cheated yet again, she desperately wants to call it off. But because her future father-in-law is her dad's cutthroat boss, she doesn't want to be the one to do it. Her savior comes in the form of a professional objector whose purpose is to show up at weddings and proclaim the words no couple usually wants to hear at their wedding. I object. During anti-wedding festivities that night, Sophie learns more about Max the objector's job. It makes perfect sense to her. He saves people from wasting their lives, from hurting each other. He's a modern-day hero, and Sophie wants in. Max and Sophie start working together. The two love cynics going from wedding to wedding, and she's having more fun than she's had in ages. Sophie looks forward to every nerve-wracking ceremony where she gets to save the lovesick souls of the betrothed masses. As they spend more time together, however, they realize their physical chemistry is off the charts, leading them to dabble in a little hookup session or two. But it's totally fine because they definitely do not have feelings for each other. Love doesn't exist after all. And then everything changes. A groom-to-be hires Sophie to object, but his fiancé is a woman who broke Max's heart. As Max wrestles with whether he can be a party to her getting hurt, Sophie grapples with a sudden realization that she may have fallen hard for her partner in crime. Next up, we have Flirty Little Secret by Jessica Lepe, and this releases on March 19th. School counselor Lucy Galindo has a secret. To her coworkers, friends, and even family, she's shy, sweet, and constantly struggling to hold off disaster. Red, manage her anxiety and depression. But online, she's bold, confident, and always knows what to say. It's how she's become the wildly popular, the misguided counselor. It's also why she keeps her identity anonymous. Her followers would never trust the real Lucy with their problems. History teacher Aldrich Fletcher thought a new job would give him some relief from his drama-filled family. Instead, he's dodging his ex-girlfriend and pining over his new coworker, who only ever seems to see him at his worst. Thankfully, he can count on his online confidant for advice, until he discovers the misguided counselor is Lucy. Now Fletcher has a secret too, and while Lucy can't deny there's something between them, she's not sure she can trust him. Can they both find the courage to share the truth and step out from behind their screens. This is being billed as a You've Got Mail meets Abbott Elementary, and I love both of those, so gonna have to pick this one up. Next up, we have The Wedding Issues by L. Evans, and that is being released on April 2nd. Olivia Liv Fitzgerald's life is on ambition autopilot. The soon-to-be lawyer has her life plan set and can talk anyone into anything. Well, almost anything. When her scheming aunt throws her cousin Callie into a competition for Southern Charm's cover alongside Liv's best friend, Layton, all hell breaks loose. To save the day, Liv only has to A. secure the Southern Charm cover for Layton. B. keep Aunt Charlotte happy and keep Callie's wedding running smoothly. C. finish her final year of law school and nab a coveted NYC big law job. And D. win over the guy of her dreams. Easy, right? From engagement parties to rehearsal dinners, Liv will be balancing her schemes, dreams, and double maid of honor duties. Next up, we have Just for the Summer by Abby Jimenez, and this releases on April 2nd. Justin has a curse, and thanks to a Reddit thread, it's now all over the internet. Every woman he dates goes on to find their soulmate the second they break up. When a woman slides into his DMs with the same problem, they come up with a plan. They'll date each other and break up. Their curses will cancel each other's outs, and they'll both go on to find the love of their lives. It's a bonkers idea, and it just might work. Emma had a plan that her next assignment as a traveling nurse would be in Minnesota, but she and her best friend agree that dating Justin is too good of an opportunity to pass up, especially when they get to rent an adorable cottage on a private island on Lake Minnetonka. It's supposed to be a quick fling just for the summer, but when Emma's toxic mother shows up and Justin has to assume guardianship of his three siblings, they're suddenly navigating a lot more than they expected, including catching real feelings for each other. What if this time, fate has actually brought the perfect pair together? I actually read one of Abby Jimenez's books this year. I believe it was Part of Your World. I do own yours truly as well. And I'm curious if this is set in the same world as those two. Next up, we have Bloodlines by Jen Alexander. And this releases on April 9th. Still reeling from the unexpected loss of her parents, Edie McLean doesn't have time to grieve. She's a fourth generation owner of the McLean Family Coffee Shop, her family's legacy. Unfortunately, this legacy is littered with decades worth of bad business, regrettable purchases, and massive debt. The McLean family motto was always that good coffee is in our blood, but the shop has become an eyesore, and its small little customer base isn't enough to keep it afloat. And if Edie doesn't find a way to turn business around quickly, the family's legacy will end with her. As Edie tries to pull all the pieces of her life together, she finds herself drawn to an alluring night shift nurse who stops by for coffee every evening after sunset, while contending with a quirky new roommate who sleeps in an honest-to-God coffin. When all three worlds collide spectacularly, Edie's eyes are opened to a new and untapped market that just may be the key to saving her family's coffee shop. However, when her Draculattes and cold blood cold brews begin to raise more alarm than sales, suddenly the stakes involved appear to be of the wooden variety. So this sounds like a cozy vampire story. I am very much here for it. Next up, we have The Kiss Countdown by Etta Easton, and this releases on April 9th. Risk-averse event planner Amory Price is jobless, newly single, and about to lose her apartment. With no choice but to gamble on her shaky startup, the last thing she needed was to run into her smug ex and his new, less complicated girlfriend at Amory's favorite coffee shop. Panicked, she pretends to be dating the annoyingly sexy man she met by spilling Americano all over his abs. He plays along for a price. Half the single men in Houston claim to be astronauts, but Vincent Rogers turns out to be the real deal. What started as a one-off fly morphs into a plan. For the 3 months leading up to his mission, Amory will play Vincent's doting partner in front of his loving but overly invested family. In exchange, she gets a rent-free room in his house and can put every penny toward her struggling business. What Amory doesn't plan for is Vincent's gravitational pull. While her mind tells her a future with this astronaut is too unpredictable, her heart says he's exactly what she needs. As their time together counts down, Amory must decide if she'll settle for the safe life or shoot for the stars. And the last one in the romance category is Funny Story by Emily Henry, and that releases on April 23rd. Daphne always loved the way her fiancé Peter told their story. How they met on a blustery day, fell in love over an errant hat, and moved back to his lakeside hometown to begin their life together. He really was good at telling it, right up until the moment he realized he was actually in love with his childhood best friend, Petra. Which is how Daphne begins her new story. Stranded in beautiful Waning Bay, Michigan, without friends or family, but with a dream job as a children's librarian that barely pays the bills, and proposing to be roommates with the only person who could possibly understand her predicament, Petra's ex, Miles Nowak. Scruffy and chaotic, with a penchant for taking solace in the sounds of heartbreak love ballads, Miles is exactly the opposite of practical. Button-up Daphne, whose co-workers know so little about her, they have a running bet that she's either FBI or in witness protection. The roommates mainly avoid one another, until one day, while drowning their sorrows, they form a tenuous friendship and a plan. If said plan also involves posting deliberately misleading photos of their summer adventure together, well, who could blame them? But it's all just for show, of course, because there's no way Daphne would actually start her new chapter by falling in love with her ex-fiancé's new fiancé's ex. Right? For some reason, that is reminding me of the two news anchors that were on like Good Morning America and how they had like an affair, but they were with other people. And then I think those other people started dating each other. I think that happened. Anyway, at some point, I really need to get into reading Emily Henry. Maybe it'll be this one. I do own Beach Read. Maybe I'll start there. But at some point, I'm going to start reading her books. Okay, in this section, I have some contemporary, literary, I think some historical releases here. And let's just go ahead and get started. The first one I have is Fruit of the Dead by Rachel Lyon, and that releases on March 5th. This seems to be a contemporary reimagining of the myth of Persephone and Demeter, set over the course of one summer on a lush private island. Camp counselor Corey Ansel, 18 and aimless, afraid to face her high-strung single mother in New York, is no longer sure where home is when the father of one of her campers offers an alternative. The CEO of a Fortune 500 pharmaceutical company, Rollo Picasso, is a middle-aged divorced magnetic. He is also intoxicated by Corey. When Rollo proffers a childcare job and an NDA, Corey quiets an internal warning and allows herself to be ferried to his private island. Plied with luxury and opiates manufactured by his company, she continues to tell herself she's in charge. Her mother, Emer, head of a teetering agricultural NGO, senses otherwise. With her daughter seemingly vanished, Emer crosses land and sea to help a cry for help she alone is convinced she hears. Alternating between the two women's perspectives, Fruit of the Dead incorporates its mythic inspiration with a light touch and devastating precision. Next up, I have Ellipses by Vanessa Lawrence, and this also releases on March 5th. When cosmetics mogul Billy rolls down her town car window and offers Lily a ride back from a glitzy, champagne-soaked Manhattan gala, Lily figures there could be a useful work connection in the works. She's heard the legends of Billy's rise as a business titan who was an out lesbian long before it was fashionable. Lily feels stalled in the fashion magazine world and in her relationship with her girlfriend, Allison. As a biracial and bisexual woman, Lily spent her life negotiating other people's slighting perceptions of her. Charming and self-assured, Billy seems invested in mentoring Lily out of her slump, but their text exchanges quickly begin to consume Lily's life. She's always trapped in an ellipsis, waiting for three gray dots to bloom into a new message from Billy. As she navigates high society galas, smoky cocktail lounges, and conference rooms rife with microaggressions, all with one eye on her phone, Lily must ultimately work out not only what it is she really wants, but also how to take it for herself. Next up, we have Great Expectations by Vincent Cunningham, and this releases on March 12th. A historic presidential campaign changes the trajectory of a young Black man's life. I'd seen the senator speak a few times before my life got called up, however distantly, with his, but the first time I can remember paying real attention was when he delivered the speech announcing his run for the presidency. When David first hears the senator from Illinois speak, he feels deep ambivalence. Intrigued by the senator's idealistic rhetoric, David also wonders how he'll balance the fervent belief and inevitable compromises it will take to become the United States' first Black president. Great Expectations is about David's 18 months working for the senator's presidential campaign. Along the way, David meets a myriad of people who raise a set of questions. Questions of history, art, race, religion, and fatherhood that force David to look at his own life anew and come to terms with his identity as a young Black man and father in America. Meditating on politics and politicians, religion and preachers, fathers and family, Great Expectations is both an emotional resonant coming-of-age story and a rich novel of ideas marking the arrival of a major new writer. Next, we have Dominoes by Phoebe McIntosh, and this releases on March 12th. Dominoes opens in London, 29 days before the wedding of a young couple. Layla is a mixed-race woman with a Black Jamaican mother and a white father she's never met. And Andy is a white man of Scottish descent. When they first meet at a party, they can't believe how instant their chemistry is. Layla's best friend Sarah isn't so sure about Andy or the fact that her best friend is engaged to marry a white man. As Layla's wedding day approaches, Sarah prompts her friend to research her heritage more. And in the process, Layla makes a shocking discovery. It's not just possible, but extremely likely that Andy's ancestors enslaved Layla's in Jamaica, and that the money from that enslavement helped build his family's wealth. What seemed like a fairy tale romance is suddenly derailed as Layla begins to uncover parts of her history and identity that she never could have imagined, or had simply learned to ignore. The process takes her to Jamaica for the first time, where she uncovers truths about her family's history that will change the way she thinks about herself and her future. As the clock ticks down to her wedding, 4 days, 3 days, 2 days, Layla must make a decision. Commit to the man she loves or expose a shameful history that has gone unspoken for far too long. Next up, we have Mother Doll by Katya Apakina, and this releases on March 12th. Zenya is adrift in Los Angeles, pregnant with a baby her husband doesn't want, while her Russian grandmother and favorite person in the world is dying on the opposite coast. She's deeply disconnected from herself and her desires when she gets a strange call from Paul, a psychic medium who usually specializes in channeling dead pets. With a message from the other side. Zenya's great-grandmother, Irina, a Russian revolutionary, has approached him from a cloud of ancestral grief, desperate to tell her story and receive absolution from Zenya. As Irina begins her confession with the help of a purgatorial chorus of grieving Russian ghosts, Zenya awakens to aspects of herself she hasn't been willing to confront. But does either woman have what the other needs to understand their predicament? Or will Irina be stuck in limbo, with Zenya plagued by her sexual trauma and her children after her? Next up, we have The Day Tripper by James Goodhand, and this releases on March 19th. It's 1995 and Alex Dean has it all. A spot at Cambridge University next year, the love of an amazing woman, and all the time in the world ahead of him. That is until a run-in with a former childhood bully sees him bruised and bloody and almost drowning in the Thames. He wakes the next day only to find he's in a room he's never seen before, in clothes he doesn't recognize, with no idea of how he got here. A glimpse in the mirror tells him he's older, much older, and has been living a rather hard life, his features ravaged by time and poor decisions. He snatches a newspaper and finds it's 2010, 15 years since that night by the river. After finally drifting off to sleep that night, Alex wakes the following morning to find it's now 2019, another 9 years later, but the next day is 1999. Never knowing which day is coming, he begins to piece together what happens in his life after that fateful night by the river. But what exactly is going on? Why does his life look nothing like he thought it would? And can he change it? Alex must push against the heavy headwind of fate, however impossible that might feel, and learn that small actions have untold impact and might be all he needs to save himself and the people he loves most. Next up, we have Rainbow Black by Maggie Thrash, and this releases on March 19th. Lacey Bond is a 13-year-old girl in New Hampshire growing up in the tranquility of her hippie parents' rural daycare center. Then the satanic panic hits. It's the summer of 1990 when Lacey's parents are handcuffed, flung into the county jail, and faced with a torrent of jaw-dropping accusations as part of a mass hysteria sweeping the nation. When a horrific murder brings Lacey to the breaking point, she makes a ruthless choice that will haunt her for decades. As an adult, Lacey mimes a normal life as the law clerk of an illustrious judge. She has a beautiful girlfriend, a measure of security, and the world has mostly forgotten about her. But after a tiny misstep spirals into an uncontrolled legal disaster, the hysteria threatens to begin all over again. Next up, we have Annie Bott by Sierra Greer, and that releases on March 19th. Annie Bott was created to be the perfect girlfriend for her human owner, Doug. Designed to satisfy his emotional and physical needs, she has dinner ready for him every night, wears the sleek outfits he orders for her, and adjusts her libido to suit his moods. True, she's not the greatest at keeping Doug's place spotless, but she's trying to please him. She's trying hard. She's learning, too. Doug says he loves that Annie's AI makes her seem more like a real woman. So Annie explores human traits such as curiosity, secrecy, and longing. But becoming more human also means becoming less perfect. And as Annie's relationship with Doug grows more intricate and difficult, she starts to wonder, does Doug really desire what he says he wants? And in such an impossible paradox, what does Annie owe herself? Interesting. Next up, we have Glorious Exploits by Ferdia Lennon. And this comes out on March 26th. The Syracusans have figured out what to do with the surviving Athenians who have the gall to invade their city. They've herded the sorry prisoners of war into a rock quarry and left them to rot. Looking for a way to pass the time, Lampo and Galen, two unemployed potters with a soft spot poetry and drink, head down into the quarry to feed the Athenians, if and only if they can manage a few choice lines from their great playwright, Euripides. Before long, the two mates hatch a plan to direct a full-blown production of Medea. After all, you can hate the people but love their art. But as opening night approaches, what started as a lark quickly sets in motion a series of extraordinary events, and our wayward heroes begin to realize that staging a play can be as dangerous as fighting a war, with all sorts of risk to life, limb, and friendship. And the last one in this category is A Great Country by Shippy Samaya Gowda. And this one releases on March 26. Pacific Hills, California. Gated communities, ocean views, well-attended serene pools, and now the new home of the Shaw family. For the Shaw parents who came to America 20 years earlier with little more than an education and their new marriage, this move represents the culmination of years of hard work and dreaming. For their children, born and raised in America, success is not so simple. For the most part, these differences among the five members of the Shaw family are minor irritants. Arguments between parents and children, older and younger siblings, but one Saturday night, the 12-year-old son is arrested. The fallout from that event will shake each family member's perception of themselves as individuals, as community members, as Americans, and will lead each to consider, how do we define success? At what cost comes ambition, and what is our role and responsibility in the cultural mosaic of modern America? Okay, hope you're still with me. We are going on to the category of thrillers and horror. The first one I have is Where Sleeping Girls Lie by Farida Abiki Iamadi, and this releases on March 19th. It's like I keep stumbling into a dark room, searching for the switch to make things bright again. Sade Hussein is starting her third year of high school, this time at the prestigious Alfred Noble Academy boarding school, after being homeschooled all her life. Misfortune has been a constant companion all her life, but even Sade doesn't expect her new roommate Elizabeth to disappear after Sade's first night, or for people to think she has something to do with it. With rumor of the girls collectively known as the Unholy Trinity, and they bring her into their fold. Between learning more about them, especially Persephone, who Sade is inexplicably drawn to, and playing catch up in class, Sade already has so much on her plate. But when it seems people don't care enough about what happened to Elizabeth to really investigate, it's up to she and Elizabeth's best friend to solve it. And then a student is found dead. As they keep trying to figure out what's going on, Sade realizes there's more to Alfred Noble Academy and its students than she thought. Secrets lurk around every corner and beneath every surface, secrets that rival even her own. Next up, we have Murder Road by Simone St. James, and this releases on March 5th. July 1995. April and Eddie have taken a wrong turn. They're looking for a small resort town where they plan to spend their honeymoon. When they spot what appears to be a lone hitchhiker along the deserted road, they stop to help. But not long after the hitchhiker gets into their car, they see the blood seeping from her jacket and a truck barreling down Atticus Line after them. When the hitchhiker dies at the local hospital, April and Eddie find themselves in the crosshairs of the Cold Lake Falls police. Unexplained murders have been happening along Atticus Line for years, and the cops finally have two witnesses who easily become their only suspects. As April and Eddie start to dig into the history of the town and that horrible stretch of road to clear their names, they soon learn that there is something supernatural at work. Something that can not only tear the town and its dark secrets apart, but take April and Eddie down with it all. Next up, we have Panic by Luke Jennings, and this releases on March 12th. Escaping online is easy. In real life, it won't be so simple. Jaleesa, Kai, Ilya, and Danny are online best friends and super fans of the hit TV show City of Night. Fantasizing about the show in their chat room, they find an escape from their troubled small-town lives. Everything changes when Chloe, makeup artist to the show's star Alice Temple, enters the chat. When Chloe tells them Alice is in danger, the four resolve to save her and make their way to California, but fantasy is quickly overtaken by reality. Alice's troubles, they discover, will shine the spotlight on all of them, and not in a good way. On the run across the American South with one of the most famous actresses in the world, The fans must evade the police, the Russian mafia, and the Legion, an absurd but terrifying new far-right movement. Can they keep running for long enough to uncover the truth about Alice and discover themselves in the process? Next up, we have Kill For Me, Kill For You by Steve Cavanaugh, and that is being released on March 19th. One dark evening in New York City's Upper West Side, two strangers meet by chance. Over drinks, Amanda and Wendy realize they have much in common, especially loneliness and an intense desire for revenge against the men who destroyed their families. As they talk into the night, they come up with a perfect plan. If you kill for me, I'll kill for you. In another part of the city, Ruth is home alone when the beautiful brownstone she shares with her husband Scott is invaded. She's attacked by a man with piercing blue eyes who disappears into the night. Will she ever be able to feel safe again when the blue-eyed stranger is out there? It says that this one is for fans of The Silent Patient and Gone Girl. It's a razor-sharp and Hitchcock-inspired psychological thriller about two ordinary women who make a dangerous pact to take revenge for each other after being pushed to the brink. Looks like there might be another one kind of similar to that one, also releasing on March 19th. And that is The Best Way to Bury Your Husband by Alexia Cassell, which releases on March 19th. It is a dark comedy about four women coming together to heal the damage their husbands have done and hide their bodies once they've killed them. What is going on? When Sally kills her husband with a cast iron skillet, she's more fearful of losing her kids than of disposing of a fresh corpse. That just wouldn't be fair. Not after 20 years of marriage to a truly terrible man. But Sally isn't the only woman in town reaching the brink. Soon, Sally finds herself leading an extremely unusual self-help group, and among them, there are four bodies to hide. Can they all figure out the perfect way to bury their husbands and get away with it? First to join is former nurse Ruth, who met her husband as a single mom. Now her son is grown and her husband's violence builds by the day until an attack on the stairs leads to a fatal accident for him. A few doors down, Samira's last straw comes when she discovers her husband is planning a campaign of violence against her eldest daughter, who has just come out. Janie, Sally's best friend, has just had her first child at 42. Sleep deprived, Janie needs a hero to slay the monster in the fairy tales she whispers to her daughter each night. And as her husband's violence escalates, it might just be her. Together, fueled by righteous anger but tempered by a moral core, the four women must help each other work out a plan to get rid of their husbands for good. Along the way, Sally, Ruth, Samira, and Janie rediscover old joys and embark on new passions in work, education, and life. Friendship and laughter really are the best medicine, and so is getting away with murder. Next up, we have Dead Girls Walking by Sam Ellis, and this releases on March 26. Temple Baker knows that evil runs in her blood. Her father is a North Point killer, an infamous serial killer known for how he marked each of his victims with a brand. He was convicted for murdering 20 people and was the talk of countless true crime blogs for years. Some say he was possessed by a demon. Some say that they never found all of his victims. Some say that even though he's now behind bars, people are still dying in the woods. Despite everything, though, Temple never believed that her dad killed her mom. But when he confesses to that crime while on death row, she has no choice but to return to his old hunting grounds to try to see if she can find a body and prove it. Turns out, the farm that was once her father's hunting grounds and her home has been turned into an overnight camp for queer, horror-obsessed girls. So Temple poses as a camp counselor to go digging in the woods. While she's not used to hanging out with girls her own age and feels ambivalent at best about these true crime enthusiasts, she tries her best to fit in and keep her true identity hidden. But when a girl turns up dead in the woods, she fears that one of her father's fans might be mimicking his crimes. As Temple tries to uncover the truth and keep the campers safe, she comes to realize that there may be something stranger and more sinister at work, and that her father may not have been the only monster in these woods. Next up, we have You Look Better as a Ghost by Joanna Wallace, and this releases on March 26. A comic thriller following the trials and tribulations of Claire, a part-time serial killer who is keen to keep her favorite hobby a secret despite the efforts of a determined blackmailer. The night after her father's funeral, Claire meets Lucas in a bar. Lucas doesn't know it, but it's not a chance meeting. One thoughtless mistyped email has put him in the crosshairs of an extremely put-out serial killer. But before they make eye contact, before Claire lets him buy her a drink, even before she takes him home and carves him up into little pieces, something about that night is very wrong because someone is watching Claire, someone who is about to discover her murderous little hobby. The thing is, it's not sensible to tangle with a part-time serial killer, even one who is distracted by attending a weekly bereavement support group and trying to get her art career off the ground. Will Claire finish off her blackmailer before her pursuer reveals all? Let the games begin. Next one I have is The Black Girl Survives This One, and that is edited by Desiree S. Evans. It releases on April 2nd. This is a young adult anthology of horror stories centering Black girls who battle monsters, both human and supernatural, and who survive to the end. Be warned, dear reader, the Black girls survive in this one. Celebrating a new generation of best-selling and acclaimed Black writers, The Black Girl Survives in this one makes space for Black girls in horror. 15 chilling and thought-provoking stories place Black girls front and center as heroes and survivors who slay monsters, battle spirits, and face down death. Prepare to be terrified and left breathless by the pieces in this anthology. The best-selling and acclaimed authors include Aaron E. Adams, Monica Brashears, Charlotte Nicole Davis, Desiree S. Evans, Sriracha J. Fennell, Zakaya Dahlia Harris, Daka Herman, Justina Ireland, L.L. McKinney, Brittany Morris, Maritza and Micah Malate, Eden Royce, and Vincent Tirado. And the forward is by Tana Nareev Du. I don't normally read anthologies or short stories, but that might be something I pick up, and I'll probably hold off and read it like later in the summertime or closer to Halloween. Next up, I have Bless Your Heart by Linda Ryan, and this releases on April 9th. It's 1989 in Southeast Texas, and the Evans women, owners of the only funeral parlor in town, are keeping steady with normal business. The dead die, you bury them. End of story. That's how Ducey Evans has done it for the last 80 years. And her progeny, Lenore the Experimenter, and Grace, Lenore's soft-hearted daughter, have run Evans' funeral parlor for the last 15 years without drama. Ever since that god-awful mess that left two bodies in the ground and Grace raising her infant daughter Luna alone. But when town gossip Mina Jean Murphy's body is brought in for a regular burial and she rises from the dead instead, it's clear that the Strigoi, the original vampire, are back, and the Evans women are the ones who need to fight back to protect their town. As more folks in town turn up dead, and Deputy Roger Taylor begins asking way too many questions, Ducey, Lenore, Grace, and now Luna must take up their blades and figure out who is behind the Strigoi's return. As the saying goes, what rises up must go back down. But as unspoken secrets and revelations spill from the past into the present, the Evans family must face that sometimes the dead aren't the only things you want to keep buried. And next up, we have While We Were Burning by Sarah Coffey. And this releases on April 16th. After her best friend's mysterious death, Elizabeth Smith's picture-perfect life in the Memphis suburbs has spiraled out of control, so much so that she hires a personal assistant to keep her on track. Composed and elegant, Brianna is exactly who she needs and slides so neatly into Elizabeth's life, almost like she belonged there from the start. Soon, the assistant Elizabeth hired to distract her from her obsession with her friend's death is the same person working for her to uncover the truth behind it, because Brianna has questions too. She wants to know why the police killed her young black son, why someone in Elizabeth's neighborhood called the cops on him that day, who took that first step that stole her child away from her, and the only way she's ever going to be able to find out is to entwine herself deep into Elizabeth's life, where the answers to her questions lie as the two women hurtle towards an electrifying final showdown and the lines between employer and friends blur. It becomes clear that neither of them is what they first appear. And next up is Home is Where the Bodies Are by Geneva Rose. And this releases on April 30th. After their mother passes, three estranged siblings reunite to sort out her estate. Beth, the oldest, never left home. She stayed with her mom, caring for her until the very end. Nicole, the middle child, has been kept at arm's length due to her ongoing battle with a serious drug addiction. Michael, the youngest, lives out of state and has been back to their small Wisconsin town since their father ran out on them 7 years before. While going through their parents' belongings, the siblings stumble upon a collection of home videos and decide to revisit those happier memories. However, the nostalgia is cut short when one of the VHS tapes reveals a night back in 1999 that none of them have any recollection of. On screen, their father appears covered in blood. What follows is a dead body and a pact between their parents to get rid of it before the video abruptly ends. Beth, Nicole, and Michael must now decide whether to leave the past in the past or uncover the dark secret their mother took to her grave. And this one has a pretty cool cover. It's a VHS tape. And the last one in this section is Missing White Woman by Kelly Garrett, and this one releases on April 30th. The truth is never skin deep. It was supposed to be a romantic getaway weekend in New York City. Brianna's new boyfriend, Ty, took care of everything. The train tickets, the dinner reservations, the rented four-story luxury row house in Jersey City with a beautiful view of the Manhattan skyline. But when Bree comes downstairs the final morning, she's shocked. There's a stranger laying dead in the foyer, and Ty is nowhere to be found. A black woman alone in a new city, Bree is stranded and out of her depth, especially when it becomes clear the dead woman is none other than Janelle Beckett, the missing woman the entire internet has become obsessed with. There's only one person Bree can turn to. Her ex-best friend, a lawyer with whom she shares a very complicated past. As the police and the social media mob close in, all looking for hashtag justice for Janelle, Bree realizes that the only way she can help Ty or herself is to figure out what really happened that last night. But when people only see what they want to see, can she uncover the truth hiding in plain sight? And the last section is science fiction. And first up is Floating Hotel by Grace Curtis. And this releases on March 19th. Welcome to the Grand Abena Hotel, home of the finest food, the sweetest service, and the very best views the galaxy has to offer. All year round, it moves from planet to planet, system to system, pampering guests across the furthest reaches of the Milky Way. the last word in suborbital luxury, and an absolute magnet for intrigue. Intrigue such as, why are there love poems in the lobby inbox? How many Imperial spies are currently on board? What is the true purpose of the Problem Solvers Conference? And perhaps most pertinently, who is driving the ship? Each guest has a secret, every member of staff a universe unto themselves. At the center of these interweaving lives and interlocking mysteries stands Carl, one-time stowaway, longtime manager, devoted caretaker to the hotel. It's the love of his life and the only place he's ever called home. But as forces beyond Carl's comprehension converge on the Abena, he has to face one final question. When is it time to let go? Next up is The Mars House by Natasha Pulley, and this releases on March 19th. In the wake of an environmental catastrophe, January, once a principal in London's Royal Ballet, has become a refugee in Tharsis, the terraform colony on Mars. There, January's life is dictated by his status as an Earthstronger, a person whose body is not adjusted to lower gravity and so poses a danger to those born on or naturalized to Mars. January's job choices, housing, and even transportation are dictated by this second-class status. And now a xenophobic politician named Aubrey Gale is running on a platform that would make it all worse. Gale wants all Earthstrongers to naturalize, a process that is always disabling and sometimes deadly. When Gale chooses January for an on-the-spot press junket interview that goes horribly awry, January's life is thrown into chaos. But Gale's political fortunes are damaged too. Gale proposes a solution to both their problems, a five-year made-for-the-press marriage that would secure January's future without naturalization and ensure Gale's political success. But when January accepts the offer, he discovers that Gale is not at all like they appear in the press. They're kind, compassionate, and much more difficult to hate than January would prefer. As their romantic relationship develops, the political situation worsens, and January discovers Gale has an enemy, someone willing to destroy all of Tharsis to make them pay, and January may be the only person standing in the way. And next up, we have Those Beyond the Wall by Micah Johnson, and this one releases on March 12th. Scales is the best at what she does. She is an enforcer who keeps the peace in Ashtown, a rough, climate-ravaged desert town. But that fragile peace is fractured when a woman is mangled and killed within Ash's borders. Right in front of Scales' eyes, even more incomprehensible, is that there was seemingly no murder. When more mutilated bodies start to turn up, both in Ashton and in the wealthier walled-off Wally City, Scales is tasked with finding the cause and putting an end to it. She teams up with a frustratingly by-the-books partner and a brisk but brilliant scientist in order to uncover the truth, delving into both worlds to track down the invisible killer, but what they find points to something bigger and more corrupt than they could have ever foreseen. And it could spell doom for the entire world. And the last one I have is Mal Goes to War by Edward Ashton. And this releases on April 9th. The humans are fighting again. Go figure. As a free AI, Mal finds a war between the modded and augmented federals and the puritanical humanists about as interesting as a battle between rival anthels. He's not above scouting the battlefield for salvage, though, and when the humanists abruptly cut off access to infospace, he finds himself trapped in the body of a cyborg mercenary and responsible for the safety of the modded girl she died protecting. And that's all I have for today. I hope you were able to hear about some books you are now excited to read. I know there are quite a few that I didn't know about, and I am more excited to take a look at some point this year. But thank you so much for tuning into this week's episode of Such a Fun Read. I really hope you enjoyed our talk about all of these new releases. And definitely let me know your thoughts. Let me know what books you're excited about that I talked about, or what books you're excited about that I didn't talk about, because I know there were quite a few. Also, don't forget to rate us 5 stars on your favorite podcast app. It really does help the show. And if you're watching this on YouTube, don't forget to like and subscribe to the channel so that you don't miss a future episode. Thanks again, and I will talk to you all again next week. Happy reading!